Thanks for the introduction, and hello everybody. Today I'm going to present our work on improved row domain rate control with accurate header size estimation. And this is a joint work with my advisor, Professor Eckhard Steinbach. So we know rate control is an essential part of a practical video encoder. And sometimes we care only about the average bit rate of the encoded bitstream. But in most real-time applications, we want to control the size of each frame accurately. And row domain rate control is a rate control method originally proposed by Zhihai He for H.263 and MPEG-4. The basic assumption in row domain rate control is that the size of a frame is proportional to the percentage of non-zero coefficients after quantization in the frame. And the experiment results have shown that row domain rate control can control the size of the frames quite accurately. And but when we want to use row domain rate control for H.264, the increased amount of header information becomes one of the problems. This is because this header information is not well addressed in the original row domain rate control model. So if we want to make row domain rate control more accurate for H.264, we need to find a way to estimate the size of header informations in the bitstream. So this is our motivation. And this is the outline of my talk today. First is motivation we have already talked about. And next, we will introduce some rate models for the header informations. And we also introduce a two-stage rate model to two-stage rate control algorithm based on row domain rate control. And this is followed by some experimental results where we compare our rate control methods with some previous works. And finally, we will draw the conclusion. So first, let's see what is included in the header information in H.264. So we know the two most common headers in H.264 are the slice headers and macro block headers. And the size of a slice header is relatively stable. So once we know the size of a once we know the number of slices in the frame, we can accurately estimate the size of the slice headers. And for macro block headers, the size of a macro block header changes from macro block to macro block, and it is harder to estimate. And in this paper, for intra macro blocks, because the number of intra macro blocks are quite limited in the P frames. So we simply use the average header size of the already encoded intra macro blocks to estimate the header size of the intra macro blocks in the current frame. And for inter macro blocks, we see that there are different header informations in the header of an inter macro block. So first is the motion information, including the motion vectors and reference frame IDs. And then is the type information, the macro block types and block types. And the third one is the CVP information, so the coded block pattern. And the last one is the QP information. And here, this figure shows the percentage of different kinds of header information in relation to the total header size in a frame. So the x-axis here, this is the frame index, and the y-axis here, this is the percentage of different information. So we see that the number of QP bits is relatively small. So we simply use the average information in the past to estimate the number of QP bits per macro block in the current frame. And for type information, we know there are only limited macro block types and block types. So we only need some counter. And this type information is encoded using a fixed VLC table. So once we know the number of different kinds of macro blocks and blocks, we can estimate the size for type information accurately. And for motion information and CBP information, we see that they change a lot from frame to frame. And they also occupy a large part of the total header size. So in the following, we will focus on the estimation of the size for motion information and CBP information. So first, let's see how we handle the motion information. So in 2007, Shen, so she is a student of Professor Kuo, And Shen has proposed a linear rate model for the motion information. So in this model, she relates the size of the motion information with the statistics of the motion vectors. So we see this item here. This is the number of non-zero motion vector element. And a motion vector element is simply either the horizontal or the vertical component of a motion vector. And this is the number of motion vectors. And omega is the constant that we can derive from the experiment. And gamma is the parameter we need to update from frame to frame. And experimental results have shown that this model works well for many test sequences. But in our experiment, we find that this model does not always predict the resulting bit number of bits accurately. So we see here we encode different sequences at different bit rate, and the x-axis here, this is this item in the bracket, and the y-axis here, this is the number of bits. And the right points here, we show the number of motion bits inside a frame. So we see that now there is no very strong linear relationship between the number of motion bits and this item here. So we think the problem here is that H.264 does not directly encode the motion vectors. Instead, it uses predict coding and encode only the difference motion vectors. So we think the number of motion bits should have a stronger relationship with the statistics of the difference motion vectors. Yeah. So based on this idea, so we slightly modify this model for better prediction. So this is our modified model. We see that now we use the number of non-zero difference motion vector element. And this is the number of zero difference motion vector element. And again, omega is a constant we can derive from the experiments. And gamma, we need to update from macro block to macro block. So we have done the same the experiments for the same test sequences. We see that now, again, so this x-axis is this item in the bracket, and the y-axis is the number of motion bits. So we see that now there is a stronger linear relationship between the number of motion bits and this item here. So we think this model can be used to predict the size of motion information better. But if we look at these blue points are the total number of header bits in a frame. So if we look at the blue points, we see that there is no strong relationship between the total number of header bits and this item here. So as we have mentioned, another very important part in the macro block header size is the CBP information. So to accurate estimate the size of the header information, we also need a model to estimate the size of CBP information. So in Shen's paper, she has proposed that the number of CBP bits should be proportional to the number of texture bits. And we know from the row domain rate model that the number of texture bits should be proportional to the percentage of non-zero coefficients. So here we simply done some experiment experiments to check this relationship. So the x-axis here is 1 minus rho, which is the percentage of non-zero coefficients. And the y-axis here, this is the number of CBP bits. So we see that although there are some kind of linear relationship, but this is not so strong as we have expected. We think this is because the number of CBP bits depends not only on the number of non-zero coefficients, but also on the distribution of these coefficients. So here in this paper, we want to find a model which also considers the distribution of non-zero coefficients. And this is our proposed rate model for CBP information. We see here we use the number of This is the number of non-zero microblock, and this is number of zero microblocks. And a zero microblock is here defined as a microblock in which all the quantized coefficients are zeros. So we use this number as an indication of the distribution of the non-zero coefficients. And we see omega is still a constant, and gamma is a parameter we need to update adaptively during the encoding. So we see now this x-axis, this is this item in the bracket, and the y-axis is the number of CBP bits. So we see that now there is a strong linear relationship between this item here and the number of CBP bits. So we will use this model to estimate the size of CBP information. So these are the two models we proposed, and now we can introduce our two-stage read control algorithm. We see that this is basically the same as proposed in the original row domain read control model. So we have two stages. So first we do a frame level bit allocation, so we determine how many bits are allocated to encode the current frame. And in the analysis stage, we will do motion estimation, mode decision, and transformation. And we store the coefficients, the type information, and the motion information in the buffer. This will be later used by the encoding stage, as well as by the rate control algorithm. And in the encoding stage, we actually encode all the microblocks. And first, for each microblock, we first estimate the header, the number of header bits for the remaining microblocks, except the CBP bits for inter-microblocks. Here we exclude the CBP bits because it depends also on the selected QP. Because if we use different QP, the resulted number of non-zero coefficients will be different, and the number of CBP bits will also be different. So we can only estimate this together with the texture bits. And we will subtract this header size from the current bit budget, and we get the bit budget for CBP bits and texture bits. And next, we find a suitable QP so that the sum of the number of CBP bits and the texture bits does not exceed the current bit budget. So we will use our proposed model to estimate the number of CBP bits. And for texture bits, we use the row domain rate model. And then we use the selected QP to encode each microblock. And after each encoding, we will update the parameters in the rate models. And after we have done this for all the microblocks in the frame, we then can update the parameters in the model for prediction of the next frame. So this is the basic workflow of our proposed two-stage rate control algorithm. And now we can have a look at some experiment results. So here we encode the different sequences at different bit rate. And here we compare four rate control algorithms. First one is the rate control in X264, because our algorithm is implemented in the X264 encoder. And this one is the original row domain rate control without header size estimation. And for the third one, we use the rate model in the reference paper to estimate the header size in each frame. So we see that on the sequence level, so first we compare these four algorithms on the sequence level. We see that on sequence, we want to see how close is the actual bit rate to the target bit rate. So we see that all these four rate control algorithms perform well. So we see that the resulting bit rate is very close to the target bit rate. And here in this table, we also show the PSNR comparison of the three row domain rate control algorithms with the rate control in X264. We see that for the two rate control with header size estimation, we can always achieve a positive PSNR gain. So this is in the sequence level, and then we can go down to the frame level to see the frame size fluctuation of different rate control algorithms. So here we compare the three row domain rate control algorithms we encode the Q6 sequence format, and the target frame size is 400 bytes. And we see that this blue one, this is the original row domain read control without header size estimation. So we see that compared with these two methods with header size estimation, the variance of the frame size here is larger. So we see that with header size estimation, we can reduce the frame size fluctuation within the sequence. And then we can further go down to the macro block level to see the QP variation within a frame. Because we know all the macro block level rate control algorithms allow the QP to be adjusted for each macro block so that we can meet the target frame size accurately. But if the QP values change too much, then we will have quantity fluctuations within the frame. So here we simply show some experimental results. These are the 50th and 100th frame in the for the QCIF sequence format, and we compare the three row domain rate control algorithms. The blue one here is again for the original row domain rate control without header size estimation. So we see that at the beginning of the frame, the QP values are very large, and towards the end of the frame, the QP value changes dramatically. We think this is due to the lack of header size estimation, so that at the beginning of a frame, the rate control cannot estimate the resulting number of bits accurately. And at the end of the frame, it needs to change this dramatically. And we see for the two algorithms with header size estimation, we can achieve a smaller QP variation. For example, this is our proposed rate control algorithm. We see that throughout the whole frame, the QP values nearly does not change. And here in this frame, it changes only within a very small range. So these are our experimental results. And now we can draw the conclusion. So in this paper, we have proposed rate models for estimation the size of header information in H.264. And we also introduced a two-stage row domain rate control algorithm with header size estimation. And through header size estimation, we can achieve a better rate control accuracy. We can achieve smaller frame size fluctuation within the sequence. And we can also achieve smaller QP variation within the frame. OK, I think that's okay, all for my talk today. Thanks
very much. So we can have a couple questions. So you compare with the host original row domain method, right?
Yeah.
But so have you compared the QP, like the one with Hong, Shen, and me?
Yeah.
The QP domain, have you compared that?
Yeah, so this one, yeah? We see the right curve is for the, this is the
QP base.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. But in the reference paper, actually the for the source bits, you use the quadratic model. Not the row domain rate model.
Right.
And here we have implemented this model together with row domain model, and this is the experimental results.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a mixed hybrid method.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, this also works well.
So, Mayna, what's the TOP structure of the experiment results? The TOP structure.
Okay. So, in this, we encode for each sequence, we encode the first 300 frames, but only the first frame is as an iframe. So, the following are always p-frames.
Yeah. How about Hyoko B? How about Hyoko B frame structure?
We do not use any B frames, so we do not use any hierarchical. So hierarchical. This.
Okay, thank you.
So. Have you tried larger size images, video? So higher resolution?
We only tried QCIF sequences and SIF sequences. Yeah. And we get similar results for this. Yeah.
So what do you expect, go to the standard definition or uh-huh. high definition? Will that make any difference? Or?
Okay, we can also do that, yeah. I think for higher resolution, it depends on the target bit rate. Yeah. So yeah, maybe if the target bit rate is high, then I think the texture bits will take up most of the bits in the sequence. So header size estimation will be less efficient. But if the bit rate is in the middle, it's low, then we think that header size estimation may bring a lot of gain.
So another thing is, if you have the higher, the hierarchy. Definition and the higher quality, uh-huh. the non-zero coefficient actually is smaller. The number of non-zero coefficients is much more smaller.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that impact the raw domain approach. Uh-huh.
So actually, we haven't done any high resolution. We haven't done experiment for high resolution sequences. But I think first is the percentage of non-zero coefficients also. On one hand, it depends on the size of the frame. On the other hand, it's also depends on the target bit rate. Yeah. So if we want to compress the high resolution sequences with only very slow, only low bit rate, then the
usually it go together. If you have higher spatial resolution,
uh-huh.
you want to have also better quality.
Yeah, yeah.
As usual, it doesn't make sense to go to the very large.
Yeah, sure. So in this case, we think that maybe the percentage of non-zero coefficient will be higher, much higher than in our experiment.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. Thanks again.